this morning, maybe building on what verse said, we are going to look at our own citizenship as believers. So we are going to talk briefly on a short message called "We Are Citizens of Heaven." We are not comparing citizenship of heaven with any other citizenship because there is nothing that measures to that. But I want us to pick it up from Philippians chapter number 3, from verse 17 to 21. I want us to read that scripture together and then see where Paul is coming up with this. Is it gonna show? Or I read it here. "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have seen in us, believers. Their end is destruction. Sorry, for many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross." Maybe just wait there. Paul is writing to believers, by the way, and he is asking them to imitate him, and of course imitate us too, but he mentions something profound. "For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ." I don't think there's a believer who can walk as an enemy of Christ. That would be unfortunate, eh? But people who are not born again, who are not saved, the way they are doing, literally, they are walking and living as enemies of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But be careful, because you also, in the church, can walk as an enemy of the cross if you are not careful. Let's move on. Then it says, "Their end of destruction," those who walk as enemies of the cross, "their God is their belly, and their glory is," sorry, "in their shame," sorry, "and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things." Let's move on. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are in the world, they are living the way they are living as enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, but with their powerful citizenship and everything else. But our citizenship is in heaven. Meaning we are citizens of heaven. This is what is happening here. You see, 40% of the population of Philippi, is it Philip by then, were Roman citizens. They had the Roman citizenship. You see, the Roman citizenship was very expensive to get. It was gold. And Paul is talking to these people who are now born again, who are carrying the Roman citizenship, who are still believing so much in it, who are still maybe beating their chest because they have the Roman citizenship. And maybe some of them are still trying to organize money and what have you to buy this citizenship. And Paul is coming to talk to these people and he says to them, "Listen, there are many out there who are living as enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing the things maybe that you want to do and everything else, corruption, whatever you can think of." And he says, "But you, us here, our citizenship is in heaven." Meaning that, yeah, you can have your Roman citizenship, but guess what? There is a better citizenship, which is the citizenship of heaven. And that citizenship of heaven, you don't pay money to get it. It was already paid for on the cross of Calvary. Now that you have believed, therefore you are a citizen of heaven. You see, if you look at our world citizenships, there is nothing that compares to the Roman citizenship then. Maybe for now, you can think that the Japanese citizenship or the Singaporean citizenship are the best. They compare to the Roman citizenship then, because those two citizens, the citizens of those two countries can travel across the world to over 100 countries without a visa. Yeah? They can travel anywhere, over 100 countries without a visa, as long as you are Singaporean and you are Japanese. Visas are not needed and required in so many countries. Maybe they are the only two groups of citizens in the world today who are enjoying all that kind of privilege. So it's something close to. I'm not sure about Zimbabweans. Do we require visas anyway? Yeah, maybe even going to Harare, you'll require a visa from this side. But for those ones, it's visa-less. And so Paul is suggesting to the people, the Philippians here, to the church, that listen, these things are nothing. These things are nothing compared to what you have now. He's trying to draw their attention to the new them, to the new citizenship that they now have, how important and how powerful it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I just want us to look at our citizenship of heaven. I'm going to talk briefly about our citizenship of the kingdom of God. You see, we are sojourners in this world. We are just passing through. Paul, verse last week said we are exiles. Huh? We are in exile. Our home is not necessarily Zimbabwe. It's not necessarily Africa. It's not necessarily Europe. Our home is heaven. And we are here belonging to a kingdom within a kingdom. There is the kingdom of the world, there is the kingdom of God. We have moved because of redemption into the kingdom of God. And we have become citizens of the kingdom of God and members of the household of God. And the Bible uses a lot of superlatives to describe our citizenship. If you take time to understand those things. We are a royal priesthood. We are a people of God. We are an army of God. We are kings and priests in the kingdom of God. Because our citizenship gives us so much rights that no other kingdom in the world can actually stop your citizenship or take it away from you. Will they beat you? Yes, they can. Can they kill you in the world? Yes, they can. But can they take who you are in Christ Jesus? Forget. They can't do it. You get what I'm talking about? And you are protected, therefore, and preserved because you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is no kingdom that does not support its citizens. There is no kingdom that does not show up for its citizens. All the nations of the world, I mean well-led and well-governed nations and reasonable nations, when their citizens are in trouble in another country, they will send for them. They will send help. They will evacuate them, take them out and put them in a safer place. If these nations, led by evil men and women, can do that for their citizens, what more? What more? Your God, He will always show up. And He always shows up where His children are involved. And He will never let you down on that one. So I need us to understand that while we are here in this world, the Bible says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So if we are not of this world, where do we belong? In the kingdom of God. That's where we belong. We belong to God and not to anything else. But listen, you and me have been born naturally in the kingdoms of the world. And we have been socialized Africans, we have been socialized as Europeans, We've been socialized as Asians, and what we grew up knowing and what we know is that I am African. I am European. I am Asian. Maybe I am Zimbabwean. I am South African. I am American. I am British, and all that kind of stuff. And that these are the things that we move around talking about and showing up, eh? That I am American, that I am this and that and that. And if we are not careful, it is these natural things, which are okay, by the way, that limit you from understanding your new citizenship. Because instead of now moving and boasting and talking about my citizenship in the kingdom of God, I still talk about me being Zimbabwean. Yeah, we have many currencies. We do A, B, C, D. Yeah, that's what we talk about. I mean, let's face reality here. Many citizens of any country, they talk about their country. Sit with Americans, they talk about America. And America is heaven to them. Sit with South Africans, they talk about South Africa. Sit with the Zimbabweans, I'm not sure what they talk about, but they talk about Zimbabwe. Sit with the Nigerians or anyone else, they are talking about their country. And maybe they even talk about how hard their citizenship is, how hard life is as citizens of a particular country. I am talking about us here, believers, because we still identify ourselves more in the natural, more in the flesh than in the spirit. And guess what? What we talk about more manifests. And what we don't talk about does not manifest. I think we should understand, and we all understand here, that we are a spiritual people. And we talk. The kingdom of God is about words. Maybe let me say Christianity, or the life of a Christian, is about words. So what I talk about mostly is what I see, is what I create, is what I manifest in my circumstances. So the more I talk about me being Zimbabwean, me being African, and what have you, guess what? Every minute, being Zimbabwean manifests. And being African manifests, and it manifests with all its limitations. And so as a result, I keep limiting myself because I keep throwing on my way, by my words, the limitations of my citizenship. But when I change and I begin to talk about my citizenship of the kingdom of God, my citizenship of heaven, I begin to create on my pathways that which is of my country, heaven. Did I make sense? That's why Paul will say in Romans chapter 12, be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Because in our minds, we are citizens of our natural nations. Congratulations. But we have been born again. And we are now in this new country, new family, new nation. So we need to change the way we think so we can experience the full transformation of being a citizen of the kingdom of God. And what a brilliant kingdom it is. It's a kingdom of power. It's a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of joy, all in the Holy Spirit. So my question maybe is, how often do you talk about your new citizenship? How often do you brag about being a child of God, a son of the Most High God, a joint heir with Jesus, an heir of God, a co-laborer with God, a co-worker with Jesus? How often do we tell ourselves those things? that I'm born again, I'm born of God, I'm born of the Holy Spirit, and I am spirit-filled. And I'm well able, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when I talk and talk about these things, they begin to show up. The supernatural lifestyle of the kingdom of God begins to be my reality, because it ought to be. My current Zimbabwean reality is not mine. How can I live Zimbabweanly in America? Huh? Doesn't make sense. When I'm in the US, I want the US lifestyle, eh? I forget about my cream bee. I forget about my potholes. I forget about all those other things, isn't it? Yeah, but now I am in the kingdom of God and I still think Zimbabwean. Yeah, I still can't do anything because there is no Zesa, because there is no this, because there is no that. Paul says, renew your thinking. Renew your thinking. You are in a new country. You are belonging to a new king. Yeah? You are under a new leadership, a new stewardship of the kingdom of God. There is no limitation on how far you can go, on how far you can do what you want to do, because in this kingdom you can do all things. All things. There is no I can't. I can't is a rebellious word in the kingdom of God. It's rebellion. Because in the kingdom, you can do all things. Hallelujah. Do I make sense? I'm trying to help you understand your new country so that you can begin to talk and manifest it. The Bible says we are ambassadors of this kingdom here on earth. You and me, all of us here, we represent the kingdom. We represent the King of Kings because we are the kings here. So we represent Christ. We represent the kingdom. Look at your life. Is it anywhere near? What is the limited or the basic expectations of the kingdom? I'm not sure. I will give you only five, time allowing, five basic characteristics of this kingdom. Five basic characteristics of the citizens of heaven here on earth. Please don't look at going to heaven now. You are here on earth. The expectation of God is that we leave heaven here on earth. The expectation of God is that we manifest heaven here on earth. The expectation of God is that we colonize the earth with the mindset of heaven, with the lifestyles of heaven, with the culture of heaven, the traditions of heaven, with the world of heaven, with the everything of heaven. And there is no one else who will do it in your specific areas except you. So we better wake up to this call that we are citizens of heaven. We represent the kingdom of God and we represent the King of Kings, who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth and who is coming back soon, by the way. So what are the basic characteristics? Characteristic number one for any believer, for any citizen, is that you are committed to Christian unity. There is no one born again, no one born of the Spirit of God, no one who is a citizen of heaven who loves divisions. No. No one here loves to divide people. That's not the nature of the citizens of heaven. Hello. Paul says something profound. Let's read Philippians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. So that we can discover this. What does Paul say here? He's writing to the Philippians. I entreat, please, you can read those names the way you want to. I entreat you, dear, and I entreat Sinch to agree in the Lord. Hey, look at it. These are women. These are two ladies. The Bible does not tell us their point of conflict, but they are conflicting, and they are both born again, and they are all in Philip. They are attending the same congregation. And Paul says, I entreat this, I encourage this, I beseech you, beloved, agree in the Lord. Let's move on. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Guys, these guys are not sinners. These guys are full of the Spirit of God. Well-meaning believers who have labored with Paul, who have done so much for the kingdom of God, but they are in disagreement. It would mean that their disagreement was so severe. Otherwise, if it wasn't severe, Paul was not going to write about it. Their disagreement was probably threatening the whole congregation. Their disagreement was no longer healthy. And Paul says, come on, guys, let's get together in the Lord. Let's be united. And he's encouraging other believers to help them so they can come together for the common good of the kingdom, for the common good of the church, and for the common good of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is very important for believers to be in one mind. What does Philippians 2, verse 1 and 5 say? Can we read that? Then I will run through. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one another. End there. Believers, if there is anything that makes God joyful, that makes this family healthy, that makes all of us here excited, it is being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord and in one mind, all of us. Simple put, being united. United in the Spirit, united in purpose, united in fellowship, united in ministry, united in everything we do. Hear me well. The Spirit of God is not a spirit of division. Hello? The Spirit of God in you cannot hurt the person next to you. The Spirit of God does not teach you hurt. Ladies and gentlemen, our witness as children of God is in our unity more than anything else. Unity is our greatest witness, is our greatest act of witness. Believers in the Lord, citizens of the kingdom of our God, are a united people, are together. They will know that you are my disciples by this, that you love one another. It is not for the citizens of the kingdom of God to walk away on each other. It is not for the king, for the citizens of the kingdom of God to pull each other down and destroy each other. That is the spirit of the world. But the Spirit of God brings us together, causes us to forgive one another. And it causes us to carry one another's burdens and move forward. Our power in this world as the Church of Jesus Christ is in our unity. Hello? Is in our unity. Unless we walk in it, we are not walking in the fullness of what Christ wants us to do. Disunity clouds our witness. Do you know why the world doesn't take us seriously? It's the body of Christ. We are too divided. Too divided. The other one is pulling that way, that way, that way, that way. There's no common ground. But we are carrying the Bible and they're shouting, Jesus, Jesus. But we can't unite. We can't love one another. We can't be one. And the world says, these people, they are crazy. I almost gave an example with this other power political party. I won't even mention political parties. They might seem disunited amongst themselves, but when a common enemy shows up, they forget their disunity. They will all focus on the common enemy and they crush the enemy. Maybe they are doing better than us on that one. You see, in John 17, if you read from verse 21, Jesus is praying for the unity of the church. This shows how important unity is in the kingdom of God. And he says somewhere that the kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. It falls. And the kingdom of God cannot enjoy that luxury. Yeah, because this is the kingdom of unity. Talk to your neighbor and say, I'm with you. It's very, very important. Maybe why don't you decide yourself as an individual to search your heart and throw away those things that cause you to sit by yourself and begin to judge other believers and fail to come together with others. Before you say they are not greeting me, how many have you greeted yourself? Before you sit there and say no one is reaching out, how many have you reached out yourself to? Because remember, life gives you what you give out. You want to be loved? Love. Hello? You want to be smiled at? Smile. No one comes to a frowning face. You scary people, they move away. Why don't you just wear a smile? You pay nothing for it. Present yourself lovable. Hello? And people will love you. This takes me to my second point. Rejoice despite circumstances. Believers or citizens of the kingdom of God, they are always rejoicing. Oh, it's a commandment to rejoice. Let's read the scripture, Philippians 4, verse 4. Looks my time is running like nobody's business. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, believers, rejoice. You see, as believers, we live in joy. We live by joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, he says that. And guess what? Nehemiah is talking to a broken people who are wailing, who are mourning, who are crying. And he says, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Stop crying. Stop mourning about things, but learn to rejoice. Learn to rejoice in the Lord because your strength comes from that. Even when things are tough, citizens of heaven rejoice. Yeah? Citizens of heaven remain confident because their king never fails. Yeah? That's why even when they were putting Daniel in the den of lions, he doesn't care a bit. Because he has this confidence that the kingdom will come for the rescue mission. Yeah? That's why when they are throwing the four Hebrew boys into the furnace of fire, they don't care a bit. They are not even struggling and shouting, Mama, lo, my way. No, no, no. They aren't. They are willingly and maybe even helping those who are throwing them in, to throw them in. Because they have this confidence, the kingdom will show up. Yeah? Because it shows. Our joy attracts the responses of heaven in difficult circumstances. We are a people of joy. We are not a people of gloom. Shall we be said, congratulations? Yes. Jesus said, tribulations shall come, but be of good cheer. Because anything and everything that threatens to harm you, I have overcome it. And he has overcome it. Are you with me this morning? Talk to your neighbor and say, rejoice. Your joy is not based on the size of your account, the bank. Mm-mm. It's not based on the condition of your wallet this morning. No. Your joy is an inbuilt thing. It's your DNA. It's in you. You can't trade it for anything. If you let that go, you shall be weak and fail to stand. Hello. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning they are not natural. You can't understand them. They look stupid. Like rejoicing always is a weapon. We use joy to fight. How foolish. But the power behind it is what matters. The hand of God behind it is what matters. I'm supposed to be crying and wailing and hitting my head on the ground, but I am singing. I am laughing. And the world doesn't understand that. They say, ah, yeah, this one is bonkers. Because they don't understand my weaponry. They don't understand how we fight as citizens of the kingdom. Hallelujah. God help us. And indeed, he will help us. We are commanded to be joyful. There is a number of scriptures I have no time to read. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, go and read it. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, he repeats, rejoice in the Lord. Thessalonians 2, Thessalonians 5, verse 16, rejoice always. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Despite everything else, rejoice. James would say, count it all joy when they persecute you. Count it all joy. Guys, let's not be afraid of being weird. That's who we are. Don't try to conform and fit into the standards of how the world does their thing. No, no, no. They are on the natural side. We are on the spiritual side. They are in their kingdom. We are in our kingdom. This one is a strange kingdom. And an upside down kingdom is a kingdom of strange people. So if you are afraid to be strange, you will not enjoy the life and the benefits of the kingdom in this life. Are you with me? Talk to your neighbor and say, be strange, man. Be strange. Be strange. Because that's who we are. I'm left with about 5 minutes. Number three, the kingdom citizens, they are gracious and gently in conduct. Yeah? What does Philippians 4 say? Let's read that one. Very gently and very gracious in the way they carry themselves. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Let your gentleness, let your humility, let your forbearance be known to everyone, because the Lord is at hand. Jesus is coming soon. Learn to be gently, because you have the gentle spirit in you. The spirit of the Lord, while it makes me violent, it makes me gently. Because I am violent in gentleness. I am not violent in violence. The more you think this one is a sheep, is too humble and nothing, hey, wait. Because my power, it's not in my physical stature. My power is in my spiritual stature. I might look thin, useless, and unbalanced, and shapeless physically, but inside of me, I am a lion. And in my gentleness, I can eat up demons. I can cause battalions to flee. Are you with me? So don't be afraid to be humble and to appear foolish in the eyes of the world. Don't, because that's where your power lies. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. The last thing, the other one you will read notes. Praying instead of worrying, citizens, pray. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. Are you happy? Pray. Are you sad? Pray. You have lost something? Pray. You are feeling sleep? Pray. Feeling too excited? You are dancing? Pray. Pray always, without ceasing. In our prayer as citizens, we are not begging God. Hey, Lord, come for us. Please come and rescue us. No, keep quiet. Pray by authority. Speak to things. Tell things what to do. Because they hear you. You are an authority here on earth. Because you represent an authority called Jesus Christ. He has given you all his authority. Did you hear him say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, you go in that same authority. Go into the whole world and preach to every creature. That's the authority you carry. So when you are praying, stop begging and forcing and commanding God to do things he won't. Speak to your things. Speak to your mountains. Speak to your circumstances. Speak to yourself. Speak to your body. Your body is unwell this morning. Tell it. You are the temple of the living God. By his stripes you were healed in this body. The Holy Spirit says in Romans chapter 5, the Holy Spirit has given us, our mortal bodies, the life of God. This body has been given by the Holy Spirit, the life of God. The Zoe life of God, the everlasting life of God, life in all its fullness, life in all its abundance. So you were sickness, where are you coming from? You are illegal in this thing. So I take authority over you. I command you, go now. Go, quit. Go out. Go and try it for me tonight. It would have gone. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are in charge. We are in command. We are in control. We are manifesting the glory of our God. Go out and live as citizens. We shall continue. God bless you. You want the five. Anyone agreeing with Brendan to give you the five? Hallelujah. I am a man under authority. Time is gone. Now that Brendan has said, ladies and gentlemen, I was going to say the antidote of worry is prayer. Instead of you worrying, pray. Worry robs you. Worry grounds your faith and causes you a lot of other sicknesses. It works against your body. Yeah? BPs and all that kind of stuff, they are a product of worry. Jesus bans it in Matthew 16. Do not worry. He says, even if you worried, would you even change one hair on your head? No, you can't. So why worry? Worry causes you to mistrust your God. And that is disrespectful to God. So don't worry. Talk to your neighbor and say, don't worry. Pray. And the last one. It's a powerful one, Brendan. Number 5. Our thoughts are focused on what is good. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Let's read that scripture. It's a powerful scripture. What does it say? It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What are you thinking? What are you thinking about? Citizen of God, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about Zimbabwe. Thinking about how you are going to chinkiliza that and do that, how you are going to cross the border, who you are going to bribe. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? The Bible says, think about these things. True things, pure things, honorable, commendable, love, praiseworthy things. If they occupy your thinking, you become them. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So when I think this, guess what? I am true in everything I do. I am honorable. I am just. I am pure. I am lovely. I'm commendable. Yeah? Because I think it. When I think it, it comes out. It becomes my DNA. These things are given, but they can only come into your spirit when you think about them. When you challenge your thoughts. Yay, evil thoughts will come. All of us born again, full of the spirit, times 10. You can feel, think badly. But challenge the thoughts. Don't build them up. Kick them out. You got the authority.